Welcome to the Child Free Wealth Podcast, hosted by Bree and Dr. J, certified financial planner. Here we discuss life and finances as it relates to being child free. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Please consult your advisor before implementing any ideas heard on this podcast.
Hey, Child Free Wealth listeners, this week we are going to talk about one of my favorite topics to talk about, and I actually do mean favorite. And it's the child-free midlife crisis. Now, I don't want you to think about this as a certain age. It can happen to anyone at any age. And it's really what happens when you hit your personal, professional, and financial goals. And they're like, now what? Have you seen this, Bree? Or have you experienced it? Am I crazy on this concept?
I have definitely seen this with the different clients. They get to a certain point and they're like, I've done all these things, but I don't know where to go from here. And can you help with that? Yes, we can help with it to a point and ask questions, but that's also going to take a lot of internal reflection to kind of figure out what is next for you, because our answers might be different than yours.
Yeah. And by the way, with clients, we end up holding up a mirror and working through it with them. But I think the hard part of this is the standard life plan says you go to school, you get married, you buy a house, you have kids, work 25 years, pass on my next generation. And if you hit your personal and professional financial goals as a parent, you just shift your goals to your kids. And I'm not going to say that's right or wrong. That just, there's a whole separate discussion on that. But that's the natural thing. And the difference for child-free folks is we hit that and we're like, well, what's next in life? You know, what's our legacy? What's our impact? What's that? Like, big, hard questions. We're talking about, you know, the Maslow's hierarchy needs like self-actualization and all that. I mean, it's crazy stuff. And I hit this, I don't know, a little before 40, and I had done all the great goals, and my wife and I embraced the garden of rose. We said, all right, she'll be the rose now, and I had to try to find myself, and I actually ended up running a maple syrup farm for a while and selling stuff on eBay and Amazon and just running a tractor and doing weird things, and I did that because I had no clue what I wanted to do. And I had somebody ask you, what is a dude with a PhD doing selling stuff randomly online? I'm like, well, because I got to make some money, but like, I don't know what I want to do with the rest of my life. Because I've always been a goal-driven person. And now, like, you hit the goals. It's like the dog that caught the car, you know, like, now what? And I think the hard part of this is there's not, I don't know, at least I haven't found a great, like, here's the next step guide that, you know, talks about what to do next. I joke with clients, I'll ask them, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? But I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me that. So Bree, what's your advice when you kind of like dig into this? Because you're much better at the work-life balance than I am.
Yeah, but that was not a result of anything about hitting a crisis. It was a result of trauma. It's very, the way I came about that was just very different.
All right. So let me tell you how I work through this with clients. The first step is we go through all their finances and go, you're okay. And now, by the way, they usually fight because they're like, no, I'm not. Well, what if this? And what if, you know, the world comes to an end? Or you know, what if? I'm like, yeah, if the world comes to an end, we got bigger problems in your finances. But we find a place where they're stable. And then we go, all right, now what do you want to do? Now, we did an episode on I'll Make You Quit Your Job. And it was one of our top listens to episode, because that literally is where we're getting to at this point. Like, you done it. What's next? And I often talk about it as an encore career. You kind of take a bow, take a curtain call, and then pick out your next thing in life. But I think part of the problem is for many of us, we are following a path that the 18-year-old version of us, the stupid version of us, like 3 years ago for you, Bree, but like, you know, for the rest of us, that was like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever. But the 18-year-old version of us picked where we went to school, picked our job, picked what we're going to do, and we're still doing it. And we get so stuck in, you've got to keep doing it. You know, I had somebody, I went to school to be a nurse. Good. Did you enjoy nursing? Yeah, but I'm getting tired of it. Okay, let's change it. Well, but I went to school to be a nurse. I'm like, no, like we have to challenge this, because if you hit this at 30, 40, whatever it is, you got 40 or 50 years left of your life. Do you want to keep doing the stuff you don't enjoy for the rest of your life?
With that, like, how do you, if you're a soloist, it's much easier, I think, when I see in couples, for couples to know when the other person is hidden and push them. But as a soloist, how do you identify when you've hit that and really take the jump versus just sitting in it?
It's kind of like I've done it. And then like, you're just kind of going through the motions. By the way, yes, there's a measure of privilege here that, yes, you can take another career and do that. You have to be in a decent financial place to do that. Remember, but I said you hit your personal financial goals. Like, you've hit the goals. What do I do next? And I think people are not great at judging themselves. Let's just call that out. I've been reading a lot lately on the spotlight effect, which is this concept that we think people think about us a lot more than they do. The reality check is everybody's in their own little world. You know, yes, the internet's amplified it, but most people don't care about you. Like, throughout the day, they're not thinking about you. But we have this internal monologue that's running that says it. And I think most people also realize something's not right, but then they go, well, can I change it? So we, when we work with clients, we're often holding up a mirror to them and going, here's what you say you want. Here's what you're doing. Let's go and shift this. So I had somebody recently, they wanted to move to another area. I'm like, cool, let's do it. And they're like, well, I can't. Why not? Well, I have X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, those are all excuses. Let's get past that. Well, I can't afford it. No, you can. I'm your planner. I'm your child for wealth specialist here. I'm helping you. And I'm like, you're good. And then their head explodes. Because they're like, wait, I can? And I think that when you hit the child-free midlife crisis, you might need somebody from the outside to kind of give you that kick in the butt. So if you're a soloist, it might be somebody outside. If it's a couple, often we get in the middle of couples, you know, where, yeah, we'll see the gardener and the rose, and the gardener knows when the rose needs to do something, but they can't see it. And sometimes we, as the third party, just go, listen, you just said this, do this. And it's, you know, there's actually a thing in financial planning, they call it giving permission. We're giving people permission to change and do something different. And I think the culture and everything else pushes us to stay where we're at.
That's a good point there of culture telling you that you need to stay where you're at, because a lot of us have grown up where you do something, you commit to it for years and years and years, and if you change it, it's frowned upon. And people will say that person can't hold a job, or they're always doing different things, and kind of like those negative attitudes, which none of that might be true. It's just whatever you were doing wasn't right for you. And that's okay to change those, but there's still those stereotypes out there saying that, well, if you change and make different choices that are better for you and better for your happiness, they're not right, quote unquote, according to society.
Yeah, and we have a whole episode on money guilt that goes into a lot of this. I think this is where, when you hit the child-free midlife crisis, the voices in your head get really loud. They're kind of like, you did all this, you got to keep doing it. Or like, I had somebody else, they're moving up the executive ladder, had an opportunity for another position. And I'm like, all right, you don't need that money financially. And they said, well, but that would be a higher salary. I'm like, yes, it would. You don't need it because you're trying to die with zero. They said, yeah, but how can I pass that up? Real simple. You say no. And by the way, that's where people are like, what? Like, you know, if you're at the child-free midlife crisis, when it comes to jobs, I want you to ask the question of what would you do for free? And then, by the way, get paid for it. If you wouldn't take that promotion to do the job for free, don't take it. And yeah, but it messes in people's heads.
Yeah, it does. And I think it's because we're told to never do anything for free, you know? Unless it's like volunteer work for a charity, we're doing it to help somebody. But we can often forget that it's okay. We're not telling you to literally do the job for free. We're telling you you should enjoy it, that you'd want to do it regardless.
Yeah. And by the way, if the answer is you want to retire and sit on the beach, do it. But then what? You know, people say, I want to retire. I go, well, you know what you're retiring from. What do you want to retire to? And what child-free folks tend to dim down versus retire, but whatever it is. You want to go open the cupcake shop, open the cupcake shop. But here's the problem. I think, Bree, you and I both suffer from being overachievers a little bit. Is that fair?
Yes. I don't like when he pokes this button, but I know it's a button that needs to be poked.
The fun of being overachievers is we always want the gold star. Yeah. You know, my parents taught me, if you're going to do anything, be the best at it. That messes with my head all the time. Because when you hit the child-free midlife crisis, you can actually stop chasing the stars and being the overachiever. How are you going to do that, Bree?
I think it's, I don't know. It's hard for me. I have a lot of things like I want to do. Like I could be out hiking all day. I could be, you know, working out a lot. I like having time to just go do workouts and not have to worry about rushing through them. I love swimming, but just like, I'll use this example from recently. So I was out helping my sibling farm and I was driving grain cart and I completely overshot the truck and just shot grain out the other side. If you've never been on a farm, you have the grain cart, which is what you put the corn into from the combine. The combine harvests it. and then you put it in the grain cart, and then you drive it to the semi and load it into the hopper trailer. Well, you have to line it up perfectly to get all in there. And grain carts, the specific one that my family has, holds 60,000 pounds of corn. And it can very, very quickly get all of that out and into the tractor. I overshot it and made a huge mess on the ground. And it, in my mind, that overachieving mind is like, no, I'm not good at this. I can't ever do this because I made a mess. Like, it happens to everybody. You see corn spilled everywhere. It could be fixed, but that is a much simpler solution than when it comes to our overall life. Like, I think those small things can add up to our entire life as well. Am I making any sense to you?
You're making sense, because here's the problem. It's how pervasive goals and getting the gold star becomes in our life. You know, and by the way, I see this in relationships. People are like, I have to have the best relationship with my spouse. No, you don't. You have to have one you enjoy. And by the way, it's going to have good, bad, and ugly. Yeah, the best I've ever heard about marriage is, I still love you. I don't like you right now. Like, I'm like, all right, that's fair. Like, seriously, we all have those moments. Doesn't mean we're failing in our marriage, but we have these things that we take as failures. And that's the problem with this childhood midlife crisis. We're like, but if I'm not doing my job, A, who am I? And B, what's my goals? And C, like, huh? Like, there's no script for that. And for the people that are overachievers, which by the way is a lot of people, I have to shift them to another goal, something. For people that are less goal-driven, which is very rare. You know, I had somebody from my book who was embracing fire in his mid-40s and literally was going to take his time and just do gaming full-time, and he was good without any more goals. I'm jealous of him because I would love to do that too. I just can't. I can take one day a week and do fun stuff. By the second day on a weekend, I'm back to work. You know, and I have to reprogram that, and I have to put it in a different direction. And the hard part there.
Hobby thing.
No, that was one of our last episodes, trying to find a hobby. But I think the hard part is, if I find a hobby, I want to be the best at it again. If you're going to hike, you're doing times and like biking harder things. Come on.
Back of the pack. No, I'm not. I really don't do it for that, because if you're setting out to make a record time for a hike, you're missing all the things around you. So for me, I just want to talk to everybody. That's my thing. I just want to talk to everybody I'm with and see the gorgeous views. I'm not trying
to. By the way, talking to everybody on a hike is my seventh circle of hell, I think. But
that's fair.
Between us, I think what ends up happening with the childhood midlife crisis is you have to rethink what's important to you. So then it becomes a question of legacy for a lot of people. So I've been going through this a lot with myself, and we're working through Child Free Wealth. We're serving a lot of folks. There's about 50 million child-free people in the U.S. If we do things very well, we can serve 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000. I don't know. Very few out of that. But you know what? That can be my legacy of creating a financial planning process for child-free folks. And that really is why I'm working more than the money. I'm starting my own business. You actually start your own business. You make very little, okay? That's just kind of part of it. And we're actually building a company where we're trying to hire people where getting the money is not the primary thing. It's more the mission and the mission-driven and the focus on helping people. And that's a completely different way of thinking, but not everybody's there. And the hard part is all those voices in our head say, well, but you could make more money if, or you could do this. But if you're trying to die with zero, that money's way worthless.
That is very true. And I think we need there's a bit of privilege that comes with the ability to do things and not have to worry about the money that comes with it. We just need to flat out acknowledge that.
Absolutely. I think the hard part there is, like, we're trying to answer like the tough life questions. You know, what's the meaning of life? What are we doing? Where, you know, what do we enjoy? What makes us happy? I talk about recondoing your life, getting rid of the things that don't bring you joy and doing more of the things that you do enjoy. But people don't even like stop and ask that question. Here's some tools. One of the tools I like using with my clients, and I'm not going to ask Bree these questions publicly because, yeah, they'd be embarrassing, is actually there's...
Not embarrassing questions. You can ask them to me.
You want me to ask them?
Sure, I'll answer them. I will answer them as much as I'm publicly comfortable with.
All right. I'm going to put Bree through an exercise. You can watch this, and we'll see where it's going to go. Well, there's three life questions we like to ask. They come from George Kinder. And the first question is, imagine that you have all the money you need for now and in the future. What would you do with your life? Dream big, kind of, what would you do if you could do anything and money didn't matter?
Yeah, I would be traveling a lot more. I would spend the spring and the fall, like planting and harvest season, back with my sibling, helping them, because I think that's really fun. And just going around, seeing different parts of the world that I've always wanted to see. I would take my friends with me. I've got a couple friends, and we have talked about this, my wife and I, is at a certain point, we would like to be able to pay to take friends with us on vacations. And doing that would be a ton of fun for me because I love being people. So I want to go with them different places and just really prioritize my family and my friends and those relationships and seeing and learning new things.
Okay. So now I take away that money. You've got the money you've got now. You go to your doctor and the doctor says, hey, I'm sorry, but you only have 5 years left to live. What would you do?
I would probably continue to work just a little bit, just to give me some sort of structure to my time. I would still definitely prioritize family. I would likely move and no longer be living where I'm living, or at least not full time anyway, be kind of living in different places and just spending. I would not work any of the planting or the harvest season. I think in my ideal life, I just don't work then anyway. I would much rather be out in the fields and the plains because I think that's just fun. And I've always loved that, but I've never really talked about that before. And just, I got some kiddos in my life that I love, and I would love to be able to go to their concerts and see those things and see their singing, even though we all know children singing is not that great, but it's so cute to watch, and their soccer games. Going to things like that would be really important for me.
So the third question is, you go to the doctor and he says, sorry, I made a mistake. You've got 24 hours to live. The question is, what do you regret? What did you not get to do? What did you not get to be?
I think I would regret not spending as much time with people important to me because I prioritize them quite a bit, but I still haven't spent the time that I want to spend with them, and probably regret not having I almost be in tears with this one. Probably regret not having a wedding party and have everybody together.
So in light of those three questions, what do you need to do differently today?
Oh, I did not think I would actually be this emotional. Oh, I will probably schedule the wedding party.
Okay. By the way, don't forget to invite me. Now, by the way, we've used these questions with clients all the time. It's real simple. You got all the money in the world, 5 years to live, 24 hours. And then I ask a fourth question, which is, okay, what do you need to change? And for everyone listening, if you haven't checked our YouTube, you need to watch Bree's reactions. You need to actually go watch the video on this because it's a roller coaster. And it's the top questions in life. Those are the questions that'll help you understand what you need to do for the future. What I just heard of out of Bree, and this is my interpretation, so just go with it, is we need to get her more time with her family and the people that matter to her.
Yeah. We've had multiple conversations about that too, and how important that is to me.
Yeah. And by the way, your answers might be that. It might be something completely different. Mm-hmm. I've asked the questions. So one of the interesting ones, and if you're listening to this, you might want to just pause and journal your answers and work through this. If you got a couple, you can actually each do the questions individually, and then you can do them together. I've had a lot of people. It's really interesting. When I go to, what would you do if you had 5 years left? I actually see them sit back, relax, and a weight came off their shoulders. All right, cool. Now I can do some fun stuff. And I'm like, what? I just took, essentially killed you off, and you're excited about that. That tells me what they're living right now is bothering them that much. By the way, these questions, when you use them, you'll see. It's hard. And then when you ask the question about what should you change now, two things will happen. Either people will go, damn it, I need to fill in the blank, do the wedding ceremony or something. Or the other one is, oh, I need to earn more money. And I'm like, where the heck did that come from? That was nothing on your list. And what it is that's a defense mechanism about not making the changes they actually need to make. I think the hard part is you need, in this child-free midlife crisis, you need kind of a kick in the butt. For me, I was on a tractor, got a text from a old friend from high school that one of our friends we grew up with had died of cancer. And I was early 40s, and the first friend that dies from high school of cancer, boy, did that hit me. I was like, well, I guess I need to do something different. And I figured out I actually, rather than worry about my goals, I could just help other people get to their goals. And I do enjoy that. I truly do. Bree knows I actually probably dig in too much. Our clients, I intentionally have them meet once a month because I can only handle so much. My employees, my staff, Bree, she gets it every day. So we get constant growth, constant pushing towards your goals. It's probably too much. But that was my aha. I have a feeling, by the way, Bree, you might be looking back at this podcast as your aha.
Maybe, yeah. I've like talked about doing the wedding party, but just, and I have family members who are like, hey, we'll host, we'll like set it up, call up. So probably should just call them and say, yeah, let's schedule it.
It's interesting. If you do the exercise yourself, you almost can't lie to yourself in it. And that's why, by the way, having a friend to go through it with you is great. Or, you know, if you want, we can help you through it, whatever it is. But I think that child-free midlife crisis, people like, reality check is they need to make a change probably 5 years ago, but today's just the day they're doing it. And then what will happen is after you do that, you'll be freed up for something else. Like, oh, I want to go open my cupcake shop. You open the cupcake shop, run it for a couple of years, and then you're like, nope. What I really want to do, this is my type of job, not yours. During the summer, you go into the woods and sit in a fire tower and just watch for fires for a summer. You, your books, and just hang out. Like, sounds awesome. Bree says that it sounds great, terrible.
I'd do it for a day, but that's about it. But there'd need to be like fire happening.
No, but like, let's do something completely different to allow you to do that. The other trick on this one, I love, by the way, in groups, great question. You say, hey, if you could do any job in the world, and doesn't matter what you get paid, what would you do? And people call all things. I want to be a boat captain. What would you be, Bree?
I want to like have a foundation to help people pay for swimming lessons and learn how to swim.
All right. She's going to open her foundation. I'm going to be like Captain Lee on Below Deck. Yeah, I'm going to, you know, be the crotchety old man running the boat. The best answer I ever heard was, I want to be the bartender at Swim Up Bar. I'm like, you know, that's a pretty good job, you know. But then what you ask in the party is you say, okay, so why aren't you doing it now?
That messes with people.
By the way, this is why I don't get invited to parties. Because I actually will ask this question at a party. And like the whole like vibe of the room starts dying down. And I'm like, do you not want to have real conversations? You know, I'm an introvert. We don't care about small talk, but we'll have deep conversations. Like, let's go. And people are like, I don't know. And then they'll start throwing out excuses, whatever else. And I'm like, well, if that's the life you want to live, let's go do it. That's the opportunity for the child-free midlife crisis. Because if you actually hit your financial goal, the finance doesn't matter. If you want to go open a foundation and save seals, I don't know, I'm making it up, I'm going to the next foundation. Like, you can. Or do whatever that what matters to you. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a huge impact. You don't have to like change the world. You could just travel the world. You don't have to write the next great novel, but you can. You know, you need to figure out what matters to you. Now, the fun one of this one, when I dig into the child-free midlife crisis, I often find people have like childhood kind of like, I wish I was. I was like, well, let's go do that. Yeah, I wanted to be an astronaut, a little old and fat to do that. But, you know, like, you know, you can, sometimes the answer is you can. But by the way, I actually had somebody point out there actually is that now an adult space camp. I'm like, you know, like I'm kind of
there. Not sign up for it.
Whatever it is, you could try something and then go, nope, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. There's anything you can do, but you need to get out of the slump. You need that royal kick in the butt to do it. Now, by the way, that is one of my favorite things to do to people. So feel free, you know, if you need a good kick, I'm happy to do that one. I try to talk about balance between patting you on the back, kicking in the butt. The kick in the butt's a fun one. But like, it just...
He enjoys it a lot.
Okay. Do I push them in their direction or in my direction?
You push them in the direction they need to go. Of like, well,
yeah. And by the way, it's different for every client. Mm-hmm. I just hold up a mirror. I'm like, you said you want this. Let's go do that. And then they're like, well, no, I didn't really mean I really want to do that. By the way, now I'm going to be following up with Bree on to make sure she's actually getting her party done. I'm not kidding. Like, Bree knows. I literally will ask her about this next week.
Yeah.
Right? And she did it publicly on a podcast. All right? And like, but this is what happens. And what we need is that gentle nudge or that kick in the butt to do it, to figure out what the next 40 years of our life are going to look like. Don't just stay in the child-free midlife crisis. Do something.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a rating or review. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Follow Child Free Wealth on social media or email us at podcast@childfreewealth.com. If you're interested in working together, learn more by visiting our website, www.childfreewealth.com. We'll see you next time.